And Phelps, Guardians getting ready to play a little baseball. Those pesky Kansas City Royals. Pesky is in first place and kicking butt.
Tied.
Tiebreaker goes to Kansas City.
Still tied.
Playoff start today. Guardians are a wild card team.
Four and a half game lead.
Does that mean they're still tied?
4.5 game lead on the other wild card spot. And so I think it's, what did I say, six? Six and a half?
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Make sure you know everything before Ohio State kicks off their season during the Sons of the Shoe podcast with Nick Wilson and Spencer German. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app at 923thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes each week of the college football season. They get set to take on Akron, first game of the season.
All right, so Browns will take the practice field a little bit later on today. Kevin Stefanski will be heard from as well as they get ready for the first game of the season. They'll have one more practice tomorrow, and then we'll be off for the weekend, just like hopefully all of you listening right now will be for the three-day weekend. So the waiver claims are in. This is according to Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, who has all of them here. The Browns have not, well, made any waiver claims that we know of. They also had nobody that they put on waivers get taken by anybody else. So in other words, if you want to bring the whole gang on back, the floor is yours.
That's interesting. Nobody, huh?
Nobody.
A one.
How many players were actually picked up on waivers? Is there a lot in there or no?
Yes.
You're looking at the whole list, right?
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of guys.
I'm just curious.
A lot of guys.
I mean, smoke coming out. I don't need names. I just was like, I mean, just ballpark it. Just look at the names. Oh, come on.
All right.
The Browns didn't lose anybody and they didn't gain anybody.
Jim Harbaugh picked up Hassan Haskins, his former running back, on waivers.
Okay, one.
Is that interesting?
I could keep counting if you want. I mean, keep counting.
You know, you don't have to be so mean about it. What I'm saying
He's being a wise guy, isn't he, Andy?
Is there 50 guys that got picked up?
I don't know.
Here, can I look at your screen? Because I don't have the same screen.
You can count on the air. Okay. Here, you count on the air.
No, don't count on the air.
Just like the count taught all of us to do.
I need your mouse so I can move this.
Just so Count Von Count can handle it. Here's the mouse, too.
Thank you.
I wish we had cameras pointing this direction.
You know what's interesting to me? Guy like Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver from Carolina, former second-round pick, was not claimed on waivers. A lot of defensive backs.
So this is the question, too. Was he put on waivers, or was he just given his outright release?
Like, I think 26 he was put on guys. Waivers. There were 25 guys, 25, 26 guys.
That's significant.
I'm just saying, we sit around and we talk about it. This is my point, is that we think, oh, we're going to lose that guy. We can't let him go through. They're not going to make it through waivers. And then, like, it just doesn't.
How does that go?
It just doesn't happen.
Great job of repeating that.
Do you think, do you think Dorian Thompson-Robinson would have got picked up if somebody else wanted him?
Well, yeah.
Would he have been one of the 25 guys?
He's got picked up.
So, like, here are the guys.
I think you value your own guys more than the rest of the league does sometimes. I do think Dorian Thompson-Robinson would have got picked up, but I just wonder sometimes, do we make a bigger deal on, ooh, you can't put somebody out there, they're going to get,
you know what I think is an interesting part of this? They have to cut so many guys with only one cut now to get down to 53. There's so many numbers that you might pick up some guys. It just seems to me like there's a little less activity than there used to be.
Well, so here are the guys who were put on waivers from the Browns, okay? Jerron Briggs, Almarion Brown, Jalen Darden. Okay, Jalen Darden, you can see maybe a couple of guys doing. You know the point of this is to show you that really great players don't get put on waivers. They're instead just terminated contracts, right?
Agree.
That's the point.
Yeah, yes.
Like Siaki Ika was put on waivers. You know, nose tackles that are that size really don't, you know, now a lot of teams don't really play a 3-4 anymore or want guys that big. So Michael Woods is another one. Like guys that we've all kind of fallen in love with.
Rather than naming all these guys and say that, don't you think that sometimes the whole story is just kind of overrated? The whole thing's just kind of like we sit here with anticipation saying, oh, we can't cut that guy. I don't know how they're going to be able to not get it. Are they going to get him? Are they going to be able to get him through to the practice squad? Somebody else is definitely going to pick up. Like, we make such a big deal. Year after year, we do that. And really, when it's all said and done, it's a big.
Are you poo-pooing our profession?
No, it's not our profession. It's just what we do.
Are you poo-pooing what we do?
And let's be honest, it's one of the things that makes the NFL just so interesting is because sometimes the hype doesn't live up to the hype.
I don't know. I thought it was fascinating. I enjoyed it very much.
Well, maybe we can get, can we count again? One, two, three. Never mind.
Three on waivers.
Hit the other sounder, will you? There you go.
Genesee. It's a name for the past.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's cool.
There you go. So there's that. And now they'll start building the practice squad. We'll have a kicker on there. You always have an extra kicker.
Yeah.
You have a long snapper.
We have an extra long snapper this
from
shot.
Bay Village. Way to go, Rex. Nice job.
Good job.
That's the way to go. We need to get a new drop. Nice job, you long snapper. Nice job.
No.
Get on that.
If you don't know, this is the greatest compliment you could ever give Charlie Hewlett. If you don't know who he is, that means he's doing a great job.
That's absolutely true.
That's why he's one of my favorite players.
Well, he speaks highly of you as well.
I'm a big fan of long snappers. They're consistent. I'm telling you, if you needed to buy a jersey, long snapper's pretty much the way to go. Right? Charlie's been here for quite he's got to be the longest tenured player on the team, right? Gotta be.
It'd be my guess.
Joel Bitonio.
Ooh, that one's tough. Good point.
Thanks.
Hewlett's got 10 years experience. Although, have they all been with us? I don't know.
There's a fine question for you, Andy. You spin your head and figure that one out, will you?
Bitonio's got 11. Jeff Phelps, probably right on that. Darn you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Joel's been here forever. What did you think about Jack Conklin and the left tackle thought? You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm good with it. Like, I trust him. That's the whole thing. Like, if you're a head coach, do you trust the guy who's going to play that position? Because that position's unbelievably important. Do you trust him? Do you trust the doctors that surgically $6 million man repaired all of the ailments in his leg? Do you trust that, too? How has he looked in practice? Is he going to be up to speed? Is he going to be ready? I just feel like he's a guy that little mistakes aren't going to happen to. If something happens, it's because the player on the other side is just better than him. So I think he can maintain. I don't know. I trust him. I trust most of our offensive linemen.
I think it'll be interesting if he makes that move to left tackle at this point of his career. Since he's played right, you know, since he's been in the NFL, that's a big move to make. And then you don't think DeJuan Jones is ready?
No, I think he's ready. I just don't think they're ready to put him in that spot just yet.
Left or right? I mean, starting right tackle?
Again,
are you okay with that?
If you believe, we both believe the same thing, okay, that once he hits one of those spots, he's staying there for a long, long time. So make sure that when you do decide to give him the keys to the condo, he's ready to move in and stay there for a while.
I would agree with that. I think once he's good to go.
It's a whole microphone thing. It's weird.
Oh, sorry. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. They installed these lights in case you're wondering. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, we've got this apparatus here it's like some robotics thing. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I agree with you about DeJuan. The minute that guy is named the starter, I don't think he's going anywhere. I'm so intrigued at the combination of good feet and his size that I'm just anxious to see him get the opportunity. I think he could elevate the offensive line. And that's – but I keep going back to you've got three tackles that you want to play. Very few teams have three that you want to play and one guy sitting who probably should be starting for somebody. It's a luxury. How long does it last?
My question is does the I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. Does the success rate of offensive linemen for the Browns maintain with Andy Dickerson as your new offensive line coach?
I don't know the answer to that. And let's be honest. If there's one thing that most people, most diehard football fans, most diehard football observers, most media members know next to nothing about. It's how to be an offensive lineman and a good one, and to evaluate them. How do we evaluate offensive linemen? Hey, there's a big
they
hole there.
They don't hold, and they don't make mistakes.
There's a big hole. You didn't hold, and our quarterback is upright. That's about it, right? So I don't know, and we've been told and told and told that Bill Callahan is a great offensive line coach. No reason to think that he's not.
Look, the fact that we kind of know, I mean, we kind of knew who Bill Callahan was before, but the fact that
he was a former head coach.
But he had such an impact on that offensive line. Guys would go out and guys would come in and you've never heard of them and they would do an okay job. They would be all right. And you never questioned whether these guys would be experienced and ready to get in the spot to play. And so now if somebody stumbles, you know, it's tough because you're like, that's not, you know, and it's nothing against Andy Dickerson. Because again, if we don't talk about offensive linemen and they do their job and they stop the other team from getting your quarterback or open up some holes for the running backs or are able to flip a pancake every once in a while, then you're doing a good job as an offensive line coach. I to be honest with you, offensive linemen and referees should be about the same. They should just blend into the woodwork because if they do, that means they're doing their job. I don't want to know a referee's name, and I don't want to go, oh, that guy's holding. Oh, that guy missed that block. Same thing.
Really?
Because that's the only time you notice them. Unless they pop somebody hard where a running back is able to gain an extra 10 to 15 yards because they had an amazing play or they had a pancake, you're just not talking about offensive linemen. No offense, I have friends that are offensive linemen. I get it. I know you feel. I know I'm going to get from a buddy of mine who was at Bowling Green, who was an offensive lineman. I'm going to get a text in about 2 seconds. You don't know anything about offensive line. I don't want to know anything about the offensive line. That's the bottom line. I really don't. I want those guys to stop the other team from making tackles in the backfield and opening up holes so running backs can get through. Thank you. That's it. Give my quarterback 2+ seconds to throw. Man, I'm the happiest guy on earth. I don't care what your last name is.
It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.